Welcome to the History of the Caribbean audiobook. If you haven't already, we invite you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss a story. Today, we're honored to bring you From Colonized Minds to Rebellious Souls, Jamaica's Struggle for Identity. Get ready to immerse yourself in a powerful narrative that goes beyond music into legacy, resistance, and roots. Because here, our mission is simple: to keep our culture alive, one story at a time. They told us who we were long before we had the chance to speak. For centuries, identity in Jamaica was something assigned, not chosen. Names replaced, languages silenced, skin turned into a badge of shame. And in the wake of slavery's formal end in 1838, what remained wasn't freedom, it was confusion. The physical chains were gone, yes. But the spiritual ones, the psychological ones, those clung like shadows in the noonday sun. After emancipation, Jamaica was not reborn, it was abandoned. The British Crown, having wrung every drop of sugar, sweat, and soul from the island, left behind a broken body politic, a wounded nation trying to stand with legs that had never been taught how to walk. Schools taught British history, not African memory. Churches spoke of white saviors, while the black face in the mirror was still seen as cursed. The plantation system evolved into the wage system, and the people remained poor, voiceless, displaced, even on their own land. The average Jamaican man, in the early 1900s, lived with this deep contradiction. To survive, he had to become a stranger to himself. But fire has a way of smoldering in silence. And in the ghettos of Kingston, in the market squares of Spanish Town, in the hills of Clarendon, the spark of rebellion quietly returned. Not the kind that wielded guns or shouted slogans, but the kind that asked a simple, dangerous question. Who am I really? It started with memory. Elders who recalled African rituals passed them on under different names, masked in Christian hymns, revivalist chants, or Kumina dances. The body remembered even when the mind was forced to forget. A swing of the hips, a rhythm of the drum, a chant that didn't match the colonial hymnal. Resistance in its rawest form. The churches, imported from England, told the poor to wait for heaven. But the people began to ask, why must heaven be white? Why must God look like our oppressor? The textbooks said civilization came from Europe, but the soil said otherwise. The ancestors whispered otherwise. And then came the voice, bold, unapologetic, visionary, Marcus Mosiah Garvey. Garvey didn't come from wealth. He didn't speak with a European accent. What he had was fire in his tongue and Africa in his heart. His words were arrows shot straight into the colonial psyche. A people without knowledge of their past history, origin, and culture is like a tree without roots. In a world that told black people they were nothing, Garvey told them they were kings, emperors, queens, descendants of mighty civilizations. His message wasn't about revenge, it was about reconnection. It wasn't about race supremacy, it was about race dignity. Through the UNIA, his global movement, and the Black Star Line, his symbolic fleet, Garvey sparked a new consciousness. In Harlem, in London, in Accra, in Kingston, his message landed like thunder. But in Jamaica, among the poorest of the poor, it became something deeper, prophecy. The downtrodden began to believe they were destined for Zion. Not the biblical one of white preachers, but the living Zion of Ethiopia. Africa wasn't just a continent, it was home. Still, the colonial system didn't take kindly to such awakenings. Garvey was exiled, his name demonized, his efforts sabotaged by both white authorities and black elites who feared change. But the seed had already been planted. And seeds don't forget how to grow. By the 1920s and 30s, a new kind of Jamaican began to emerge. Not the obedient subject, but the questioning soul. They let their hair grow in defiance. They abandoned British dress codes for natural garb. They walked barefoot on holy ground. They burned incense, smoked herb, sang to Africa, preached a new gospel. The hills became churches. The body became the temple, and the mind the battleground. Colonial power feared this spiritual rebellion more than any armed uprising. For when a man knows who he is truly is, he becomes uncontrollable. He no longer waits for permission. He no longer bows his head. He begins to see. And so, what Jamaica experienced wasn't just political struggle. It was an identity war. A fight not for independence alone, but for remembrance. To know who you are is the first step toward liberation. And for Jamaica, that journey began not in ballots or bloodshed, but in the quiet, stubborn defiance of the soul. The colonized mind was cracking. The rebel soul was rising. And and from this crucible of confusion and courage, Rastafari would be born.